Welcome to The Crossing, the sermon podcast from Washington National Cathedral. We're so glad you're with us, and we hope this week's episode gives you comfort and inspiration. Be sure to check out our other Crossing podcast, Tower Talks, where you can find untold stories from cathedral docents, volunteers, staff, and artists who have each helped make the cathedral into the national treasure we all love. And now, enjoy this week's sermon.
I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Almighty and loving God, we come on this morning once again grateful for your love towards us and your presence with us. Thank you for the gift of this present day. So now, once again, we ask that you would hold us, cover us, and unite us. But most of all, fill us for the places you are preparing to send us. This we ask in your wonderful name. Amen. I am grateful for the privilege, responsibility of standing in this pulpit on this day, and grateful to be joining in with those who are present and who are connecting with us through all of the digital highways and technological advancements that we have been grateful to receive throughout the years. In this Lenten season, certainly as we gather on this day, I want to speak to you from the subject, A Witness at the Crossroads of Life. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the noted preacher and pastor of the Riverside Church in New York City, in his sermon entitled, Decisive Battles Behind Closed Doors, opened his sermon with these words. One advantage of knowing the Bible is that in days like these, one continually finds one's own experience there. Reading it, one stops suddenly, saying that it is not centuries ago, but now, and that it is not an ancient character, but myself. Here we are once again gathered in this great cathedral, listening to Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel has been read in our hearing, and here we are observing an encounter that took place centuries ago. But if we look closely, we're able to see ourselves attempting to navigate our current circumstances. This is one of Jesus' encounters with his disciples, and in particular, Peter. Peter, that brash disciple, that quick-spoken and jumping in too early disciple. Peter, who we all remember because of his unique circumstances and witness. But here we are looking at this particular encounter that is truly one of the notable and memorable encounters. It is a tension-filled moment that was so profoundly and powerfully etched into the hearts and minds of the witnesses present that it must have been told over and over and over again. It must have been shared so often that the gospel writer had to make this part of the record. I can imagine, as it was told in the story over and over again, that the gospel writer said, I just can't leave this witness out. If you were listening to the reading and paying attention, the opening words and voices are still ringing from the pages. And they're even echoing through the centuries as we are thrust right smack into the middle of a moment when Jesus is speaking, Jesus is teaching, and his disciples would have to go through great suffering. Here, when Jesus told them and they were listening, it was not just the suffering, but Jesus would become rejected and even killed. Jesus talked openly about this and shared with them that after 3 days, though he would, however, rise again. Out of all the 12 disciples and perhaps the others that were present, it was Peter who took Jesus aside to scold Jesus, to criticize Jesus for thinking and speaking about the future in that manner. Perhaps he was thinking, this is not how things should unfold. This is not the way the future is supposed to come about. There must be another way we can solve this. Maybe we can find a way to go around this rather than going through this. Maybe there's a way we can avoid this rather than facing this. This is often the issue for many of us, that in life we're trying to find ways of going around instead of going through. We're trying to find ways in order to make it more comfortable rather than to meet the confrontation face to face. Perhaps he was saying to Jesus, there has to be an option than the path that Jesus, you're committing yourself and committing us to. While Peter attempts to influence Jesus privately, Jesus turns this private moment into a public broadcast moment. Jesus turns in the direction of his disciples and scolds Peter openly by declaring, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." In Eugene Peterson's Message translation, he recounts and interprets the record this way. But Peter grabbed Jesus in protest, turning and seeing his disciples wavering and his disciples wondering what to believe. Jesus confronted Peter and said, "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, you get lost. You have no idea how God works." And for just a moment, that's the problem with many of us often in times, is that we try to tell God how to work and don't really know how God is already at work. It is in this moment we can see Jesus and his disciples standing at the crossroads. It is not the first time that they have been in a crossroad moment. It is not the first time where they've had to make a decision about going left or right, forward or backwards. It is not the first time that they've had to make a choice about what direction they would go. But in this instance, the disciples are wavering. The disciples are wondering about what to believe and which path to take. They were struggling with the fear that they had about their future. And they were fighting the temptation to embrace what I call an inward outlook of limited possibilities and self-preservation, rather than choosing to embrace a faith-filled inward outlook fortified with miraculous possibilities. It is in this moment a choice had to be made, and a real decision was needed. And if we were to simply look up, for the sake of clarity, the definition of crossroads, Harper Collins would tell us, if you say that something is at a crossroads, you mean that it has reached a very important stage in its development, where it could go one way or another. It also would go on to state, it is the point at which an important choice has to be made. Well, truth is, we're all here this morning because we're living in a crossroad moment. A decision has to be made. Choices are being made in this Lenten season every day. We are at an important point and stage in even our own development, individually and communally, where we must make a decision. If we don't mind being transparently honest for just a moment, we're living in such a known and observable crossroad moment. I know I'm speaking to those here, as well as those who are joining us online, that are feeling the difficulty of living life at the crossroads. The burden of making decisions, the weight of meeting unexpected difficulties, of responding to stress-filled moments and reports day after day. I know some of you have come here this morning, perhaps joined online, and some of these thoughts are going through you, perhaps as you think about where we are in time and space. We're wavering, we're wondering about what the future would hold. All of this is taking place, not just within us, but around us. It should be noted, and has been stated, that if we just think for a moment about all of this, our thinking processes are often operating under decisive handicaps. Our thinking processes require an atmosphere of calm detachment for their most efficient functioning. However, when a problem is present and pressing hard in on us, pressing hard on our life, and on all of us, the pressure of our emotions can sometimes immobilize our thinking. It is in this Lenten season, as individuals, we are making daily choices that will reveal if we truly are committed followers of Jesus Christ. These decisions will reveal what road we decide to travel, and our personal choices and decisions will either strengthen the crowd that is around us, the families who are connected to us, or it will cause them to waver or to wonder. Even those who are sitting by you, around you, are looking to see how confident you are, what faith you're operating in. And your faith will cause those around you to either stand firm in a moment like this or to waver and wonder about the future. As a nation, even, we were reminded even this past Wednesday evening, as we gathered here in this cathedral, that as a nation, we are standing at a crossroads. Choices have to be made. Decisions are needed. These choices and decisions are needed if we are, as Martin Luther King explained sharply in his March 22, 1964 speech in St. Louis, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. The current reality reveals to us that there's problems all around us. There's problems and difficulties in the streets that are in front of us. There are problems and difficulties in the nation that is supposed to unite us. There are struggles in the world that is supposed to hold us. The pervasive challenges are seen in the widening political and ideological divisions, the steadily increasing economic uncertainties and inequalities, the extreme religious and racism that have not been confined to just simple rhetoric, but have been motivated by that rhetoric, converted and translated from just words into tangible actions. The justification of destructive and life-ending militarism is seen all over. We have adopted and perhaps become too comfortable with an arrogant position of prospering rather than the privileged posture of serving. Peter was calling into question Jesus' plans, and Jesus, in return, called into question the commitment of Peter. This morning, we're standing at the crossroads in this Lenten season, needing to make private decisions that will become public witness. Being a follower of Jesus is more than having profound rhetoric and symbolic formalities. These must be connected with sincere actions that are fueled by our faith. We are being instructed through the scriptures on this morning to take up our crosses and follow Jesus. We are not being instructed to ignore the present moment, to run from the ongoing challenges, or to isolate ourselves individually or collectively from any current reality. It is our obligation to embrace what Parker Palmer called the promise of the paradox. In his publication, which was written under that title, he stated the promise of the paradox is the promise that the apparent opposites, like order and disorder, can cohere in our lives. The promise that if we replace either or with both and, our lives will become larger and more filled with light. It is a promise that at the heart of every wisdom tradition, I know not the least of these is the Christian faith. How else can I make sense of the statement, if you seek your life, you will lose your life. But if you lose your life, you will gain your life. Parker Palmer went on to share that the dictionary defines a paradox as a statement that seems self-contradictory and absurd, but in reality expresses a possible truth. Being able to lose your life but gain your life seems absurd. To walk by faith but not by sight seems absurd. To put your trust and give your all to Christ, to many, will sound absurd. But there's some truth in those paradoxes. And truth is, on this last Sunday of Black History Month, I must note that it is the faith in the promise of the paradox that has empowered the witness of many that I know, and it has empowered the witness that I give to you on this day. It has empowered generation after generation. It is in an experience, and in that experience, that allowed the great preacher out of Brooklyn, New York, Gardner Taylor, to preach on several occasions and to remind many, as he would say, how there have been those who have been blessed and they were told one thing, but through the power of the Spirit, they heard another thing. As they were heard one thing, through the power of the Spirit, they interpreted into another thing. They were told, your place in life is to be slaves. But they heard that and responded by saying, before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. While they were listening and others were telling them about the glory of God, the exquisiteness of heaven, that there would be a separate heaven for them. Oh yeah, you could go to heaven, but it would be somewhere else. They heard that and responded by saying, I got shoes. You got shoes. All of God's children got shoes. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on my shoes and I'm going to walk all over God's heaven. They heard one thing and they interpreted into another. In this season of Lent and throughout every day of our lives, all of us must embrace here the blessing of that paradox. All of us should be able to embrace a great faith that sees beyond even the present moment. All of us ought to be able to give a great witness of who God is. We ought to be able to follow Jesus. We must boldly and unashamedly stand, knowing that the souls and lives of men, women, boys, and girls are precious and powerful. That the love of liberty and human dignity and faith in God is filled with eternal purpose. So we choose on this morning, and let me make it personal, I choose to follow him. I hope that somebody else will be able to make that commitment on today to say that I'll follow you wherever you lead me. We will choose to follow him, and we choose to follow Jesus. I choose to follow my Savior. I choose to follow Jesus, who is the Christ. Jesus, because there's something about that name. Here, if we choose to follow him, we will strengthen our spirit. We will raise our heads. We will even lift our voices, and we will make a commitment today that the old hymn writer here captured as he said, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet. But let me draw everybody in here. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. And so that we would all know that we're together, and so that I might be unique in my own place and time. There's something about community. I know we're looking at each other. I need y'all to help me close this sermon, and I need you to just say amen. 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 And amen.